going to go back and tell you a little bit of the story of Moses. It's a familiar story. There in the book of Genesis, or in the book of Exodus. Because I want to do that to sort of set the stage for my message this morning as it comes out of these verses in Hebrews. I mean, the writer of Hebrews is just recounting what's happened back in the Old Testament, but he makes a statement there in verse 27 that I'm going to use for my text this morning when he says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And I've entitled my message this morning, "See the Invisible Ones." It's plural, and you'll see why I'm adding an S to that word in just a second. Of course, Moses was born when the people of God, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. And he was born at that time when Pharaoh had issued an edict that said, okay, all the little boy babies that are born have to be killed. And he talked to the midwives and said, you know, when you do your office as a midwife and you help the Israeli women deliver their babies, if it's a little girl, it can live, but if it's a little boy, it has to be killed. And the Bible says that when his parents saw Moses was a proper child, and I've often thought about that. I think every parent thinks their child is a proper child, a good child. But when Moses' parents saw him, they hid him for 3 months in their house. And then when he got so old that they couldn't hide him, his parents made a little ark of bulrushes, of weeds, and put him in the river, and left his sister Miriam to watch him. Those of you that know the story know that Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river and she saw this little ark, this little basket, and she sent one of her servants to get it. And when they brought the basket back to her, she opened it up, and just at that moment, the Bible says, the little baby Moses wept. And I don't know of many ladies, if any, that cannot have sympathy on a little baby when he or she is crying and has to pick him up, especially grandparents. But that little baby wept at just the right time. God was even in that. I think he sent an angel down to pinch his little toe or something, Dave, so he would cry, so that Pharaoh's daughter would have sympathy on him. But Miriam, and I hadn't thought about this till I prepared my message this week, In an act of bravery and boldness. Now stop and think, this was a little slave girl that went up to the princes, and when she found this little baby and said, "Hey, would you want me to go get somebody to care for the baby for you?" And the princess says, "Yes, I would." And she went and got her mother, Moses' mother, and Moses' mother was paid by the princes of Egypt to raise as a little baby her very own son. He got a little bit older and he moved to the palace, and the princes began to raise him as a grandson of Pharaoh. He's now 40 years old. He goes out and sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he makes a choice. Moses makes a choice. And by the way, I want to tell you this morning that life is not what you want it to be. Life is what you choose it to be. And I would say that to both Doug and Micah and other young people. You just can't sit back and say, "Well, this is what I want my life to be." Your life will be determined by the choices that you make in life. And that day when Moses saw this Egyptian beating this Hebrew, he made a choice. Now, he was raised an Egyptian. Egypt was a powerful nation, a rich nation. And he was part of that family that ruled Egypt. And because he was part of that family, he had position in Egypt. He had power in Egypt. He had riches in Egypt. He had privilege in Egypt. But he knew, even at 40 years of age, that he was born a Hebrew. And his people were still slaves. They had no right. They had no power. They had no riches. They had no privilege. And yet Moses, on that particular day, made a choice. He chose God. And he chose to be part of God's people. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It goes on and says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And he endured, the Bible says there in verse 27, because he saw him who is invisible. He saw God. Now you might think, well, yes, but Brother Darrell, I mean, Moses was a man of God. I mean, he got to see a bunch of God that other people didn't get to see. Yes, you're right. But I want to remind you, at this point in his life, when he was 40 years old, when he made the choice to side with the people of God instead of Egypt, he hadn't yet seen the burning bush. He hadn't yet heard the call of God for his life. He had not yet seen the rod turn to a snake. He had not yet put his hand into his bosom and it come out leprous and then put it back and see it be healed. None of that had happened yet. He had not seen the plagues on Egypt. He had not been at Mount Sinai and saw that mountain burn with fire, nor heard God in an audible voice speak from Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments. None of that had been done yet. He had not spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai with God yet. He had not eaten the bread from heaven yet. He had not drunk water from the rock yet. He had not seen the cloud lead them by day and the fire lead them by night. All of that was about to happen. And yes, at the end of Moses' life, you can say, I understand why he made that choice. None of that had happened yet. And yet, on this particular day, he made a choice to side with God and God's people. He didn't have any of the Bible. I mean, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. So, Brother Leonard, he didn't have any Bible that he could read. He does not have the privilege that we have of having the record of Jesus Christ. And I'll remind you what we talked about last week. Jesus said, you want to know the Father? Know me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Moses didn't have that privilege. He'd heard the stories of Noah. He heard the story of Abraham. He heard the story of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. But he had not yet seen God. He had not yet seen the power of God. And yet, he made a choice. He says, I am going to identify with my people, and I am going to identify with my God. I am going to set aside the riches of Egypt. I'm going to set aside the power and privilege I have of being part of Pharaoh's family. And I am going to choose to be identified with God. Why? Because of what it says in verse 27. Through faith. Through faith, he saw someone that he couldn't see with his eyes. He saw someone that he could only see by faith. He saw God. And he said, the reproach and affliction that comes with God are far more valuable to me than anything that I can get in Egypt. Now, this morning, I realize that I speak to two groups of people. I speak, first of all, to those that have never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, I want to ask you, by faith, to make the same choice that Moses did. I cannot take you this morning and show you so that you can see it with your eyes, heaven. I cannot take you this morning and show you so that you can see it with your eyes, hell. But both of those places are real. Both of those places exist. I cannot show you this morning, and I cannot take you anywhere and show you God. I cannot take you anywhere this morning and show you the person of Jesus Christ. I can't show you this morning the price that Jesus paid for your sin on Calvary. Some have tried recently to depict that, but as I've mentioned before, I think they come far short of painting the picture of trying to show you with your eyes the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for your sin. I can't show you that this morning, but I can tell you that you are a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can tell you this morning that there's a penalty for that sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I can tell you this morning that God paid the penalty for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And I can give you a chance this morning to receive him, so that you can become a child of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if you become a son of God, you get all the privileges that come with being a son of God. We get the Holy Spirit. God hears our prayer. You get that home that's promised in heaven. And I know a lot of people, and here's their excuse for not getting saved. They say, well, preacher, if I get saved, I would have to give up all the fun that I'm having in the world. I would have to give up all the pleasures that I enjoy in the world. I would have to give up all the excitement that I have in the world. I know you, how you Christians operate. Boy, when you get saved, you expect us to toe the line. You expect us to not to enjoy anything of the world. And this morning, if that's your excuse, I'm going to ask you by faith to put that excuse aside and by faith choose God over the things of the world. Because I guarantee you, after you're in heaven for 5 seconds, the joy that you will have in heaven will far outweigh anything you've enjoyed on this earth. I don't care if you live to be 100 years old.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, after 5 seconds in hell, the pleasures you've enjoyed on this earth will not mean anything to you, and you still have all eternity to face hell. So this morning, if you're using that as an excuse not to get saved, well, I got to give all this stuff up, all the fun that the world has to offer, all the pleasure that the world has to offer. When it comes to eternity, none of that will mean anything. And I ask you this morning, if you're here and never have received Christ as your Savior, by faith, choose God, the invisible one that you can't see. The second group of people that I speak to this morning, and this is the vast majority in this room, are people that have been saved. You've trusted Christ. There was a time in your life when you did what Jesus told us to do. Admit that you were a sinner. And understand that there's a penalty for that sin and receive Christ. I want you to see the invisible ones this morning. I want you by faith to get a fresh glimpse of the invisible God. I want you to choose him, his things, his people. I want you to choose the Bible over any other book. I want you to choose the Bible over 3 hours of TV at night. I want you to choose the Bible over sports magazines or other magazines that you read. I want you to choose the things of God. I want you to choose church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, as opposed to whatever the world has to offer that would try to keep you away. I want you to choose prayer instead of psychologists. I don't have anything against psychologists, but too many Christians run to psychologists if they just get and pay them a bunch of money. If they just get on their knees in their closet, they could get a whole lot better advice from their God and maker and creator than they would from some other man. I want you to choose the things of God. I want you to choose the eternal over the temporal. You see, we as Christians make choices every single day. And we as Christians are still tempted by the pleasures of sin, by the lust of the flesh, by the things of the world. And this morning, I want you to see the invisible one who you have trusted for your eternity and choose right and choose righteousness. sometimes somebody sings a song and the song is true. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You that are saved this morning, I want you to catch a fresh glimpse of the invisible God. I can't with my eyes see the face of Jesus this morning, but I can see the cross. I can see the price that was paid for my sin. And if I see that, I ought to lay aside the weight and the sin which thus so easily beset me and run the race. See the invisible God. Number two, I would say to the saved folks this morning, by faith, see the invisible you. We went to the mirror this morning, and with our eyes, we saw the visible us. You saw the visible you, I saw the visible me. I want you this morning to look by faith and see the invisible you. The Christian that God wants you to be. The Christian you're not quite yet, but the Christian that God wants you to be. The lover of others. The forgiver. The helper. The burden bearer. The friend. The encourager. The teacher. And I could go on and on and on. And look, I don't care how old you are this morning. Reg and I were comparing ages last night. We had a good time visiting last night. But I don't care how old you are this morning. If you're still here, and by the way, I hope you're still here this morning. If you're dead, you need to leave now. But if you're still here, all of us should say, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I haven't been perfected yet. I haven't matured yet. I haven't attained yet. He said, I count myself not to have apprehended. What he was saying is, I am not yet what God wants me to be. But he says, I've caught a glimpse of what God wants me to be. I've caught a glimpse of the invisible me. It's me over here. I mean, I'm still over here in my Christian walk, but I've caught a glimpse of me over there, where God wants me to be next. And he says, I'm pressing toward the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. I want to be what God wants me to be. So this morning, catch a glimpse of the invisible you. We sang that little song, and I'm still not sure I got the words right. He's still working on me to make me everything I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the earth and something else, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And if you're still here this morning, you're still walking God's earth, you're still breathing God's air, God, and you're a Christian, he's still working on you. Amen. To make you what he wants you to be. Catch a glimpse of it. A glimpse of the invisible you. And say like Paul, that's where I'm headed. That's my mark. That's the prize that I'm headed for. So catch a glimpse of the invisible God. Catch a glimpse of the invisible you. And then number three, by faith, catch a glimpse of the invisible others that are in your life. I can see you this morning with my eye. My eyes. I can see the visible you. And I love you. You are my friends. And it's pleasant for me to see you. But by faith, I see the invisible you. By faith, I see not what you are now, but what God is making you into. I see not just rambunctious two-year-old boys who kick their shoes up at the ceiling and grandma has to sit on them a little bit on Wednesday night, but I see young men serving God. I see not just an 8-year-old who never wants to bathe and who never picks up their clothes. I see them as preachers and missionaries. I see teenagers who today you might want to put them in a box with a hole in it and cover up the hole. I see them as choir members and Sunday school teachers and ushers. I see young adults who still make mistakes, who still haven't got it all figured out yet, who still don't cross the T's and dot the I's, who still offend people in how they do something. But I see them as leaders and trustees and deacons. And I see some grouchy, mean, bitter senior citizens who are sweet, kind, loving, helpful, who know how to encourage and teach others. And if we catch a glimpse of the invisible others that are in our life, we'll begin to look at people as God does. Not just the way we are today, but the way that they will become. By faith, Moses endured, seeing him who is invisible. You know what? We spend too much time looking at the visible. We spend too much time looking at what we see. We spend too much time looking at the pleasures of the earth and not enough time looking to heaven. We spend too much time looking at the things the world has to offer instead of looking at this book. We spend too much time even looking at ourselves and the way we are and not enough time looking at the person God wants us to be. And we spend too much time looking at others and not seeing the potential that God has for them. This morning, just one point in my message. I want you to see the invisible ones. I want you to start with the invisible God. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, by faith, I invite you to do it this morning. By faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I want you to take a look at yourself and a look at others and see the invisible ones. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Simple reminder from your word, but what a wonderful reminder it is. And what a wonderful example you gave us in the man Moses, who put aside all the privilege that he had to choose the afflictions. Because like it says in that passage, he knew that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so he chose life. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never chosen Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll make that same choice. They'll choose life over death. They'll choose heaven over hell. They'll choose Christ. Help them this morning see that they're a sinner. Help them this morning see that Jesus is the only way to get that sin paid for. Help them to decide right now, Father, that they're going to trust Jesus and what he did for Calvary to take care of all their sins. And then, Father, I pray for all of us that are Christians here. We've made that choice, but help us never lose sight of you. We can't see you with our eyes now, but we can by faith. Help us to run with patience the race that you've set before us and to be the Christian that you want us to be and to see in others what they can be. Bless the invitation. If there's somebody here that you've talked to about joining the church, I pray they'd come join the church. If there's somebody here that you've talked to, Holy Spirit, about getting baptized, I pray they'd come and get baptized. We just give ourselves to you, ask you to work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.